Welcome into Going Low, powered by Bowser's Chevrolet. Kilberger with you. Good morning. It is Saturday, July 1st. Hard to believe July is already here. And we are, you know, nearing almost the completion of the PGA Tour season. We have one major left, which will come up later this month, the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. So the golf season is moving faster and faster as the year unfolds. But a lot to get to on today's show here. We're joined behind the glass by Nicholas Callis, producing today's show. Nick, you've been getting some like primetime runs, so I haven't had you on the show here producing me for a while. But what's up, man? How are you?
Good. Good. I'm used to mornings now because I've been doing the morning show mostly, so this shift isn't foreign to me right now.
That makes sense. You know, your body's on the right clock. You're ready to get up. It's almost like having an early tea time. If you're accustomed to teeing off early in the day, you know it's going to be easier to get up and do your thing.
Doesn't matter what day it is. Yep. It's easy to get up.
And you didn't have to do the early morning show today.
No, yeah, that's nice to get a break from every once in a while. Sometimes you got to stay focused that early in the morning.
Any golf talk?
Nah, I don't really talk about golf.
Hey, well, I'm going to try to teach you something here today, all right?
Very good.
Sounds good. Perfect. Like I said, we got Harry Callis, Nicholas Callis behind the glass here today. I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the Rocket Mortgage Classic going on this weekend in Detroit. Give you an update on the leaderboard there if you have not been watching some of the first two rounds or some of the early coverage. Two leaders right now at the top of the leaderboard, Taylor Moore and Taylor Pendrith, are both 13 under right now. We have Ricky Fowler once again eyeing another win, another bounce back win for himself. Of course, he fell short a couple of weeks ago at LA Country Club in the U.S. Open. Right now, he's tied for third with Ludvig Åberg at 12 under, and then you have a couple of guys at 5 under, or a couple of guys tied for 5th at 11 under, Colin Morikawa, Aaron Rye, Adam Schenck, and Justin Lower. So this is not necessarily a, you know, designated event type thing for the PGA Tour, but still some big names have come out and are, you know, playing well and going low here right now at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit that was won last year by Tony Finau. I feel like I say this every single week. It'd be great to see Ricky Fowler break through and win again. We'll see if he's able to close the deal. Of course, wasn't able to do that at the U.S. Open. This a much less stressful situation. Certainly not the pressure-packed scenario that the U.S. Open is and trying to hold on to that lead. So we'll see if Ricky Fowler is able to hold on to this or one of these younger guys can get a big win for them early in their careers. A lot to talk about on today's show. First things first, we have a local story involving a PGA Tour player that we need to talk about. And if you haven't heard about this, maybe you're living under a rock, or maybe you just haven't been paying a ton of attention this week. You know, the Pirates have gotten back to their winning ways. It's NHL free agency. It's NBA free agency starting as well. Earlier, I think this morning, as some deals are already getting agreed to. So there's a lot going on in the sports world. So you may have missed really a great story that happened right here in our backyard this week. We'll talk about that involving PGA Tour player Eric Cole and the Frank B. Fuhr Jr. Invitational, which was played at the Pittsburgh Field Club. The last iteration of it this week. So we'll give you that story coming up here in a second. But I also want to talk about and get your thoughts on the match. What do I mean by the match? Of course, I mean the made-for-TV, professional athlete, PGA Tour player format, you know, content idea that they've come up with. You know, I think the first one might have been 2018. It's been 5 years of this now. But if you're not aware of the match, it is a made-for-TV golf content play where it pits either some of the biggest stars in the PGA Tour or some of the biggest stars in sports against each other on the golf course. You know, they'll either play a four ball, they'll play a shamble, they'll play best ball. I mean, they'll play a bunch of different formats, but it has involved the likes of Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau on the golf side. In terms of the athletes and celebrities, you know, you've had Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you've had Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Stephen Curry, a lot of some of the biggest names in sports have competed and been a part of this. So They had their latest iteration of it earlier this week. It was Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, arguably the best quarterback-receiver duo in the NFL, or one of them. Of course, he's a tight end. Going up against one of the best 1-2 punches in NBA history in Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. They battled it out in the latest version of the match at Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas, the Wynn Golf Club, just outside Las Vegas. So that was this week on Thursday. Though the ratings were the lowest they've ever had for this series, is that oversaturation? People have seen it once and not as intrigued. Is it the players they had involved? Is it the lack of a PGA Tour player or golf star? We'll talk about that coming up later in the show as well. But I also want to hear from you. Your thoughts on it at 412-928-9370. And who are some professional athletes that haven't shown up on this? Or maybe a professional golfer that hasn't shown up on this that you'd love to see and you think could move the needle for them back in the right direction? Because I think it is a concept that I like. I didn't necessarily turn into the one on Thursday or tune into it because it just didn't move the needle for me. So who would move the needle for you? Or who would be, kind of the right guy or the right collection of players that could, you know, revitalize this, which event I think is a great idea. And we'll also talk a little bit more about this LIV PGA Tour situation, the merger that happened and shocked the world about a month ago. New details coming out. Now we know that it's going to be investigated by potentially the Congress and the DOJ at the legality of this merger. We're going to look into that and maybe how the PGA Tour has exposed themselves. And if this does not go through and get shut down by the DOJ, by the government, if they find an antitrust violation here, the exposure the PGA Tour has created for itself is significant. And this is actually quite the risk here. And maybe a deal that I didn't think necessarily had to be done or had to be done this moment, but something that they certainly felt was necessary at this time and could not be pushed off any longer. Now you find yourselves in a situation where if it does not go through and get shut down, they are in a very, very dangerous situation for themselves. So a lot to discuss and dive into here on the show. As I mentioned, you can give us a call or you can tweet me at Kale_Burger, excuse me. Last night's late dinner was coming up on me there. Or maybe the beers that I tried to chug on the PM team yesterday that went very, very poorly. Harry, did you hear about that?
I did not.
So Jason Kelce, Travis's brother,
mm-hmm.
Was at an event, a fundraiser at a bar last week in, I think, the Jersey Shore. He chugged 30 ounces of beer in 6 seconds.
Oh.
So we tried to do, me, Pony, and Muller, try to do the Jason Kelce challenge.
Oh, geez.
We didn't have one big receptacle, so it wouldn't have been, it was a little harder. We had to do it in three separate of our little coffee cups.
Yeah.
You know? Pony did 28 seconds. Muller did 18.
Oh.
You know how long it took me?
10.
I'm glad you have so much faith in me. 2 minutes.
Oh, Kale.
I drank the first one and immediately thought I was going to puke.
You misled me. Everyone was getting smaller.
So, of course, on this show, we only drink Montucky Cold Snacks. That is a great beer, a delicious beer, and it probably would have fared better if I was drinking a beer that I enjoyed, like Montucky Cold Snacks. We had to do something non-alcoholic because, you know, they had to still do a radio show and stuff, you know,
right.
And chugging that much beer. Non-alcoholic beer is disgusting and a waste of time. And it's pointless. I get it. Listen, there is a place for it. If someone is, you know, an alcoholic and they are trying to wean themselves off of their vice and they still need the kind of the taste of the beer, but they obviously don't want to have the alcohol in it. I get it. There's a role for that.
Right.
But anyone who would just on their own accord decide to drink a non-alcoholic beer just for the pleasure of it is a sicko. And I don't see the point. I think it tasted disgusting. And at least if I was going to embark on this, for me, because I didn't have to do a radio show with these guys yesterday, I would have liked to have gotten a little early start to my Friday evening.
Yep.
But I drank this thing, and it was like, I mean, I put it in the fridge, but immediately when I brought it out here, it just started to get warmer and warmer.
Oh.
I drank the first one, and I literally thought I was going to throw up.
Non-alcoholic.
In this studio. You think Starkey's freaked out about Crowley putting his... his feet on the desk. Imagine if I puked in here, then we'd have an issue. But yeah, I mean, people ripping me on Twitter. I've never been a chugger. I've never been someone who could just open their throat and let the beer go down like Jason Kelce. Like, I'd never been that type of guy. Credit to Mulsey. I mean, he looked like he was in bad shape, though. He did it and then immediately looked like he was going to keel over.
Oh, no.
That being said, I forget, what did this have to do with golf?
I can't remember.
I don't know. It just came to me again. I know because people were ripping me on social media for it. I just don't chug beer like that. And even it probably would have gone better if it was a beer that I enjoyed, like Montucky. But it was not, unfortunately. All right, let's talk about the local event this week that really captured the eyes and captured the hearts of the golf world. What am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about the Frank B. Furrer Jr. Invitational. Okay? Held at the Pittsburgh Field Club. One of my favorite courses, one of the top courses here in Pittsburgh. Just an absolutely great, great track, okay? I played it once. I think I'm going to get to play it this weekend. I'm excited about it. It's just pristine. It's great. All-around tremendous golf course, okay? The Frank Furrer Invitational has been around for a long, long time and has been a big event in this area. And it has been really beneficial to a lot of golfers that are trying to start their careers, that are trying to make their way, guys like PGA Tour rookie Eric Cole. Okay, if you're not familiar with Eric Cole, well, I really can't blame you if you weren't familiar with him before this week. Okay, Eric Cole is a 35-year-old rookie on the PGA Tour. He turned pro in 2009. Birthplace was Palm Springs, California. He went to college at Nova Southeastern University. Now, why does that name maybe ring a bell for you? Well, number one, Nova Southeastern University, for me, holds kind of a special place for me because not only did I grow up about 15 minutes from the campus in South Florida, it's located in Davie, Florida, but also my cousin is the golf coach there. He's the head golf coach at Nova Southeastern University, and they won the Division II National Championship this year right over the border at the Grand Resort Avalon Lakes Golf Course in Warren, Ohio. So, kind of cool that this guy has a connection. He wasn't coached by my cousin or anything, but he obviously has a connection to, me in terms of geographically and kind of a personal relationship. I never met the guy, but he went to a place where my family has some ties. Eric Cole has been, one of those guys that I really wouldn't blame you if you didn't know his name before this week. As I mentioned, he's a 35-year-old, but he's a rookie at the age of 35 in the PGA Tour. But he's had a pretty good year. Okay, he's right now top 75 in official world golf rankings. He is 39th in FedEx Cup points. He's had three top 10 finishes this year. He's never had a career win, though, on the PGA Tour. Okay, he's played in 29 events this year. He's made 17 to 29 cuts. He had one runner-up finish. He lost in a playoff at the Honda Classic back in, February or March or whenever the Honda Classic was. That is basically the extent of what Eric Cole has done. That being said, he's nearly won $3 million in the PGA Tour this year. Okay? And the Honda Classic was played, end of February, February 26. And he finished as the runner-up there in a playoff. This guy is in contention to be Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. And I mean, I read off those accolades and think, well, what has he really done? He's made 16 cuts this season. He's had eight top 25 finishes, three top 10s, that runner-up, and he's made nearly $3 million. I would say that's a pretty good year for a rookie on the PGA Tour, especially when, who are the other guys that have really separated themselves? So he didn't necessarily need to play in this event. But as he wrapped up the Travelers last week, he drove through the night, 7.5 hours, from Hartford, Connecticut to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to make sure he was here in town to play in this event. You might ask why a guy who's made nearly $3 million this year needs to play in, an event that is big here locally, but it's not a PGA Tour event. It's an event where a lot of local golfers play in it. And pretty good local golfers, like PGA Tour professionals and guys like our pal Justin Moose and Bob Friend, Those type of guys play in this. Guys that we have had on this show. But not really something you're accustomed to seeing a PGA Tour player at. But he drove 7.5 hours, nearly 8 hours through the night from Connecticut to Pittsburgh last Sunday to make sure he made it for his first round, his tee time on Monday. And, you know, people asked him why. I mean, what was the purpose? And he said, you know, I know that it's only a purse of or a check of $20,000 I'm playing for. In the larger bucket of a PGA Tour player, that is small potatoes. But for him, it was about the relationship he had with the late Frank Fuhrer. It was about the opportunity that he and his event provided a guy like Eric Cole early in his career, and how much an event like this meant to him when he was trying to grind it out on the, you know, lower tours that we have here in the United States. You know, we don't really think about the grind that it takes for some of these guys to get to the PGA Tour. We don't really discuss how much of a slog, how challenging it is, how much mental fortitude and toughness and perseverance these guys need. You know, when you're not a guy like a Tiger Woods, a Rory McIlroy, you know, a Justin Thomas, a guy that just, you know, they played at a high-level university, they were a great amateur player, you know, they were winning U.S. Junior Opens and stuff. Guys that basically from the onset of their time picking up a golf club, they knew that they were going to be a major winner, a great player in the PGA Tour. That is the exception, not the rule. And a lot of guys have to grind it out on these minor tours to get here. So, you know, we talk about the PGA Tour. We talk about the Korn Ferry Tour, which now acts as basically kind of the feeder tour, the minor leagues, if you will, to the PGA Tour itself. Well, obviously, we have the LIV Tour as well operating now. But there are maybe a dozen minor tours of guys that are competing for, you know, what still is a lot of money. But, you know, still, it's still a lot of money if you win these tours, but it's also, you know, a significant financial investment. And, you know, they are kind of dealing with what we see from some of these minor league baseball players. And, you know, they're paying entrance fees and they're paying for their own travel. And they don't necessarily have a club deal. So they might have to go to Golf Galaxy, you know, before a tournament to stock up on this and stock up on that. I need balls. I need tees. I mean, they might not be getting the benefits that a PGA Tour guy that's got full sponsorship gets. And so for a guy like Eric Cole, who has won this event before, I think he won it in 2014. Yes, he was. It was a $40,000 prize then. That played a pivotal role in his golf upbringing because, you know, being able to get that $40,000 first prize of winning it in 2014 helped him fund and pursue his eventual dream of playing on the PGA Tour. You know, he could pay off entry fees for tournaments. I'm sure he could have paid off some credit cards. And he probably didn't have a lot of money in his savings. You know, that was able to keep him afloat. That was a lifeline that he needed. It was something that was provided to him by an event like this. It was provided to him, you know, by a guy like Mr. Fuhrer giving him that opportunity. Mr. Fuhrer, he describes it as. Reading an article here from the Post-Gazette from Jerry Dulac. This is what Cole had to say earlier this week. He said, financially, it was a huge thing. Quote, I did not have very much money to my name. It was something that meant a lot to me and continue my dream of hopefully getting to the PGA Tour, which I accomplished this year. It's something I'm very proud of. So if we're asking why did this guy play in this event and why did this guy go to this event and ultimately, you know, lap the field, win the $20,000 first prize and finish at 11 under, which was the largest margin of victory in the 23-year history of the event. Why did he do this, skip out on the Rocket Mortgage Classic, when he had played something like, I don't know, 10 straight weeks or something on the PGA Tour, 11 consecutive weeks to win 20 grand? It was because of what this event locally in Pittsburgh, that is a big event here, but might not be as important to others elsewhere outside of here. It got the center stage on, you know, the national golf radar because of a guy like that coming to play here to, in a way, pay his respects to Frank B. Fuhrer and give back to this tournament what this tournament gave to him at one point. So he won the 20 grand, largest margin of victory in 23 years. He was 11 under to win this at the Field Club, on, I believe it was Wednesday, that he ended up winning this thing. But the guy who's a candidate to be a PGA Tour Rookie of the Year here, he's won nearly $3 million. He took that $20,000 and he gave it back to the tournament. He gave it back to the Fuhrer family so they could donate that to local charities, you know, whether it's First Tee Pittsburgh or stuff to help golf here in the Pittsburgh region. So a tip of the cap from me to Eric Cole. Very cool that he came to Pittsburgh this week, not only to play one of the best golf courses here in Pittsburgh and, you know, tear it up at 11 under, but also the fact that he was loyal to this event and gave back to an event that gave him so much. One of the coolest stories in golf we've seen this year, and definitely one that took center stage and put Pittsburgh golf on the map earlier this week. 412-928-9370. More to come here on the show, and we want your phone calls. You can weigh in on this because we're going to talk about one of, I think, still I would say is one of the cooler events in golf. It is a gimmick. It's kind of a once a year, twice a year one-off. But it, of course, is the match. It's TNT's, you know, Turner Broadcasting's foray into golf, where we see some of the biggest celebrities, both in the game of golf and in other professional sports, go at it on the links. It is a made-for-TV production. They usually play only about 12 holes, different formats, and it's had guys like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson on the golf side. It's had guys like Tom Brady and Steph Curry on the football side or professional athletes side. Lowest ratings it's ever had as an event. Earlier this week, for the match on Thursday, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Has the event lost its shine? Does it still interest you? Was it simply this event with this lineup itself? And who would you like to see participate in an event like this? We'll talk about that and more and take your phone calls coming up next. It's Cale Berger for Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Cale Berger here with you this morning. 412-928-9370. We want your thoughts on the match. The most recent one was Thursday. Of course, it's a made-for-TV golf content play on TNT. Of course, with Turner Broadcasting. They have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They played against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And this was, what, I think the fifth or sixth iteration of this? It was more than that. It was the eighth iteration of it. Wow. It's kind of hard to believe they've had this many of these since it started in 2018. It's been the eighth iteration of it. And it got the lowest ratings they've had yet. Now, of course, some of the past ones, the first one they had in 2018 had to be the best. It was Tiger versus Phil. You know, this is before Tiger had, of course, suffered his debilitating leg injuries in that car crash. This is before he has had subsequent health problems. This is before he came back and won that Masters in 2019. This was, you know, still Tiger at a pretty high level going up against Phil, who's at a pretty high level. He still hadn't won his, you know, most recent major at this point when he won the PGA at Kiowa. So those guys went at it at Shadow Creek Golf Course in Las Vegas. Then you've had some other ones where, you know, the next iteration was still Tiger against Phil, but it was those guys teaming up with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, respectfully. Then they had Charles Barkley get in on the action, and they played against Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. And then we got Bryson DeChambeau in the mix, and Aaron Rodgers showed up against Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. We got everyone's favorite golf beef from 3 years ago. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka finally got to play out on the golf course as it was Bryson versus Brooks. We had Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, two of the young quarterbacks, take on two of the old quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. The one most recent or prior to Thursday's one was back to an all-golfers format where it was Tiger and Rory against Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, which was one that I enjoyed very much. That was played at Pelican Golf Club in Bel Air, Florida. So they've had many different iterations of this, and the different formats have changed as well. They've played a shamble, they've played four ball, they've played a bunch of different things. I like this idea, this concept, it doesn't always draw me to the screen where I'm going to make an appointment viewing. Some of the ones in the past I've definitely tuned into, you know, when these guys were playing in Big Sky, Montana, and they were, you know, pummeling drives with a mountain scenic vista in the background. Like, that was cool. Back in 2021, that was the fourth version of one of these. The first one, of course, was kind of a, I think it was pay-per-view. The Tiger versus Phil match was a pay-per-view event, and that drew a ton of eyeballs and a ton of pay-per-view buys. I don't know that they, I hope they haven't run their course with this thing. And you can let me know if it has a 412-928-9370. I have kind of a feeling that it has. And I don't know what they can do to liven things up or spice up this concept. I think we need this for golf. And I think that it is a cool concept to have professional athletes and professional golfers go out and play in a made-for-TV golf event. You know, everyone's mic'd up. They have cameras in the carts. It's kind of a bigger version of a lot of the golf content that people consume now on social media and on YouTube through video, whether it's, you know, Good Good or Bob Does Sports or the Foreplay guys that have done it so well. It's kind of that version on steroids and more easily accessible on television for the general viewing public. And of course, it draws a lot of eyeballs from a lot of very different sports and many different, you know, sports viewing habits, because you have NFL, you have NBA, you have PGA Tour and golf fans, and then just general sports fans that will see some of these big names and want to be a part of an event like this. But I don't know why the ratings were not as good as ones in the past have been. You know, we got our friend Derek, very loyal listener of the show. He says that the match wasn't as good. You know, he says that it doesn't necessarily have the interesting matchups and feuds, and it's just a very boring product now. You know, you need an intriguing matchup like Phil and Brooks against Tiger and Rory. I think that might be potentially one of the plays that they could implement. I think that's a good idea and a great observation. Now, of course, this is kind of getting resolved a little bit with this LIV PGA Tour quote-unquote merger, but still, I mean, there's got to be a little bit of animosity between Phil and Rory and Tiger and Brooks. I know that Rory and Brooks are on very good terms. They don't care. And a lot of these beefs that have resulted from the LIV PGA Tour split have kind of subsided, and guys are all really pretty much on good terms right now, it would appear. But I think it does need kind of that feud added in. When you have this and they're kind of booking it like a boxing match and they're billing it like a boxing match or a UFC bout, it doesn't need an animosity, but it needs a little bit of a rivalry. You know, if there's one thing about Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, you know, they're going to talk crap. They are going to chirp each other and do that to Tiger and Rory, especially with the relationship that all four of those guys have. But specifically, Tiger and Justin Thomas, with how good friends they are. Those guys are going to chirp each other. You knew that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were going to do that. You knew that Tiger and Phil were going to do that, because those have been longstanding rivalries in their respective sports. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who, as much as I love Klay and as much as I love Steph, and Steph can be very funny at times, and Klay can be funny unintentionally if you're an NBA fan, but it's more of what Klay Thompson does with his actions as opposed to what Klay Thompson does with his words. You know, but I don't know what they necessarily do to liven this thing up. I do have maybe some ideas of who they could potentially get in. Now, they've had a lot of the big names in football, and of course, those are the quarterbacks, right? But maybe you need to go outside of that and get some more celebrities. There's plenty of celebrities, musical artists that are great golfers, you know, and pretty big ones. Okay, like I look at even some of the guys that in the past have played in these, you know, pro-ams, whether it's the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, whether it's the big one that happens every summer at Lake Tahoe. There's a lot of celebrities that are funny guys, You need that comedic element to this, but guys that can talk a little crap as well. And maybe you just need bigger and better megastars. You know, like, when I look at celebrities, maybe a guy like Justin Timberlake, who I know is a very good golfer. Maybe you got a guy like Tony Romo, who, of course, is a now accomplished broadcaster, a former NFL quarterback, but apparently is very, very good. Maybe you just need to raise the level of the play out there. Maybe you need to get some musical artists. You know, there are a lot of musicians, singers, performers that are avid golfers. And I'm not just talking about DJ Khaled, who has become a pretty big one recently in recent years. If you've followed him on social media at all, now DJ Khaled, you know, we the best. He is now, you know, taking on golf as a new hobby, and it's pretty funny. But I don't know. I'm a country music fan. I look at guys like Hardy is a country music singer that apparently is like a 3 handicap. Jake Owens, another one who's a very good golfer. I know Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish. Big time golfer. He even at one point hosted a show on PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM. I mean, get Morgan Wallen out there. He's the biggest star in music right now other than Taylor Swift, and he's a golfer himself. I feel like they just need something to shake things up a little bit, or they need to go back to the model that worked where it was you at least have 2 actual golfers out there because we want access to those guys that we never really get. You know, we get post-game interviews. We get a lot of stuff with these professional athletes that are quarterbacks, that are NBA guys. You know, we see a lot of their personality. We don't necessarily see a ton of how these guys like Tiger and Phil, etc., actually interact on the course. The PGA Tour is doing that a lot more now. You know, they're miking up the player-caddy conversations. There, of course, are some big personalities in the PGA Tour now. But I think that that's part of the thing that draws people in too as well. Let's go out to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Chase in Butler who says that they should have a celebrity golf fan vote like All-Star Games. Chase, thanks for calling the show, man. Explain more on your idea here.
Yeah, basically my idea is that, like, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
But, like a celebrity All-Star vote. You know, like if you look at the NBA All-Star voting or MLB All-Star voting, or the Pro Bowl, you get fans really, really into that stuff. And I think that it's really all about who you choose to play in those things, because if you're looking at Patrick Mahomes and Steph Curry, they are titans of their profession, but they're not really big personality people. You know, Klay Thompson is not blowing the doors off when it comes to, man, that guy's funny, or man.
I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree with that. Like, they are big stars in their respective sports, but Klay Thompson is comedic or funny or popular to a niche audience. Of course, Steph Curry is one of the two biggest basketball players in the world right now. Like, there's no denying that. And Steph has a great personality, and Steph's also a really good golfer. But Klay appeals to a very niche audience. Like, if you were an NBA fan, and I said to you the 3 words in association, Klay Thompson, toaster, and bulldog, you would only get those 3 words and why they're funny together if you were a Klay Thompson fan and an NBA fan. Okay? So, Klay, 4 years ago, was in China, and a fan asked him to sign a toaster. Like, that was just funny, but that doesn't translate at all to the golf course. He's got this bulldog that's, like, his best friend, and they have this adorable relationship. That doesn't do anything for me on the golf course.
Right. And even when you get a player like Klay Thompson, I think you're stepping down, you know, from your big, big players, and that's what's going to draw your fans. Your LeBron Jameses, you know, maybe even your Nikola Jokic, because he just got a...
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Yes. And
he doesn't ride a golf cart. He rides that little horse chariot that he rides when he's back home in Serbia.
What would that do for ratings? And then on top of that, I was thinking, just as an example, what if you had somebody like Charles Barkley and Justin Bieber playing on the same team? What kind of laughs would you get from that?
Who was that guy you said?
Justin Bieber and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that this only works with a certain level or certain upper echelon of stardom. You know, and as much as, stuff has run its course, like, how many more times can we see Tom Brady play golf? How many more times can we see Phil Mickelson play golf in this setting. I get that. But maybe that's just something like this has run its course and it wasn't something that was intended to go on until the end of time. That, okay, we had these one-off things. We had this pay-per-view one where it was Tiger and Phil. We had this and that. But it gets to a point where as much as we want to see, like Patrick Mahomes might be and Steph Curry might be like the lowest level. And that's saying something with how popular they are. But I think there's an upper echelon of celebrity that's needed for something like this that you just really can't replicate, because the other thing you got to take into account too is there's only so many of these guys that are that big of a star that actually play golf.
That's true.
You know,
that's
like you mentioned LeBron James. LeBron doesn't golf. So like, are we going to throw LeBron out there? And also, you know, LeBron has a certain you know, aura about himself that he wants to uphold. Of course, he's LeBron James. You know, you can't throw LeBron out there and have him hack it around and shoot a 115. Like, no one wants to watch that. It would be funny after the first three holes when he shanked shots, but then you'd be like, okay, what are we doing here? And LeBron wouldn't want to put himself through that embarrassment. He's got an image to uphold. Chase, the last guy before I let you go, I want to run this by you. I think there's one guy in this thing that could save the match, and no one's brought up his name, and I'm surprised he hasn't done it yet. Do you know who it is? Do you want to take a guess?
Is it you, Kale?
No, it's not. It's not. Enough people have watched my terrible golf matches, and somehow I keep coming out on top, and I don't know how. It's because everyone else keeps sucking so hard. No, the one guy is Michael Jordan. He's got this big, you know, just for himself, basically, golf club he created in South Florida. They could play it there. But listen, I mean, people fell in love with The Last Dance. People went crazy for The Last Dance because they saw access to one of the most mysterious, massive stars in the history of sports ever, probably the biggest ever. But we know he loves to golf. We know he loves to golf. We know he loves to talk crap. We know he loves to drink and smoke a cigar. Throw Michael Jordan out there. Have Jordan.
I agree. Pair him with Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. But I'm saying, like, run one of these back, and you can still have the same trio of Tiger, of Phil, of Tom Brady, but throw Michael Jordan in there to play with Tiger and have it be,
yeah, that would be cool.
The GOATs or something like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Chase, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Great show. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. So that's I think the one way to save the match is Michael Jordan. He's the biggest obvious name. I don't know how I didn't think of it earlier. We're talking about all these basketball players and, oh, throw LeBron out there. Screw LeBron. This is the first time in my entire life that I'll say screw LeBron because I'm a LeBron over Jordan guy. But Jordan plays. And we want to see what Jordan's like on the golf course. We hear these stories of, you know, the gambling that's going on. Like, what if Jordan goes out there and just lets us all in on the fact that he's got a side bet with Brady, Tiger, and Phil. And, you know, there's 50 G's on the line between these guys. And that would draw ratings. That would draw eyeballs. I think that Michael Jordan's the guy. There's one other one that would entice people. And yeah, and here's the plan. Next year you book it on Father's Day. Tiger Woods and Charlie Woods, father and son, against John Daly and his son Lil John, who is going to be playing golf or is already playing golf at Arkansas. Father and son versus father and son. And you know what? John Daly always rides a golf cart, and Tiger, with his leg issues he's dealing with, he can ride the golf cart too, and we'll make the young guys walk. But I think there's a father-son element that they could try to get in here as well. That is a match that people would watch. And maybe you just throw Michael Jordan in there for the hell of it. 412-928-9370. Do you have further suggestions of who could play in the match to revitalize this event that I think still has some potential, but to me has gotten a little stale? We'll talk about that, and we'll dive in quickly into this PGA Tour Live thing, the latest on that. The DOJ, Congress, now turning an eye to this, now investigating this. The PGA Tour may have placed themselves in a very uncomfortable situation that puts themselves in maybe more danger if things don't go the way they've planned with this merger. We'll talk about that, too, coming up next. It's Cale Berger for Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Wrapping things up here on Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Reminder, you can always stay and play at the Comfort Inn Somerset. Wrapping things up before we hand it off to Pat Bostick for the Panthers Insider Show. you're a Pitt fan, it is the perfect show for you to get all of your Pitt fix in as the season's coming up here in just a couple of months as the Panthers kick it off for the 2023 campaign down at Acrisure Stadium. But last thing here, I just wanted to mention briefly about this PGA Tour Live merger, which continues to unfold, and we continue to get more and more details about it. Now we're learning that it has caught the attention, for better or worse, of Congress, the Department of Justice, and they're going to be looking into this thing to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and that everything is, you know, passes the smell test with this whole thing. This is bad news for the PGA Tour. I don't think it's bad news, you know, ever for, you know, the government to be doing its job that it's supposed to be doing. But for the PGA Tour, they're in a sticky situation here. Because if this deal gets shut down by the DOJ, if it doesn't, you know, pass, you know, the antitrust test, if it runs into that issue and it doesn't go through, they have lost all leverage. They've alienated a considerable chunk of their players. And what at that point, after you've already, you know, they played the 9/11 card, which was incredibly distasteful. They went back on that. They didn't tell the players. They signed this deal or came to this agreement with Liv and the, you know, Saudi investment fund in a closed door meetings and stuff without telling anybody. And they just sprung this on the players a month ago. After all of that that they've done, what leverage do they have with the players? What cachet do they have with the players on the PGA Tour? And then you might see, if this doesn't go through, that mass exodus where guys on the PGA Tour that were, you know, enticed by all these moral arguments from Jay Monahan and others to stay, you might see a pretty big exodus or large influx of those guys that say, screw you, I'm going to live and taking the money because you were being phonies the entire time. So a very tricky situation for the PGA Tour. They better hope that this deal is approved and goes through because they've left themselves wide open and maybe something they didn't think through. Appreciate all the discussion on today's show. We'll be back next week. But, you know, keep the engagement going on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Going Low Fan. You can give me a follow on Twitter as well at @Kale_Berger. Would love to know your thoughts on the match and who you think they could get other than Michael Jordan, or maybe you agree with me, that could revitalize this whole thing. Welcome back to the show. Wrapping things up here on Going Low, powered by Bowser Chevrolet on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan Reminder. You can always stay and play at the Comfort in Somerset. Wrapping things up before we hand it off to Pat Bostick for the Panthers Insider Show. If you're a Pitt fan, it is the perfect show for you to get all of your Pitt fix in as the season's coming up here in just a couple of months as the Panthers kick it off for the 2023 campaign down at Acrisure Stadium. But last thing here, I just wanted to mention briefly about this PGA Tour Live merger, which continues to unfold, and we continue to get more and more details about it. Now we're learning that it has caught the attention, for better or worse, of Congress, the Department of Justice, and they're going to be looking into this thing to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed and that everything is, you know, passes the smell test with this whole thing. This is bad news for the PGA Tour. I don't think it's bad news, you know, ever for, you know, the government to be doing its job that it's supposed to be doing, but for the PGA Tour, they're in a sticky situation here. Because if this deal gets shut down by the DOJ, if it doesn't, you know, pass, you know, the antitrust test, if it runs into that issue and it doesn't go through, they have lost all leverage. They've alienated a considerable chunk of their players. And what at that point, after you've already, you know, they played the 9/11 card, which was incredibly distasteful. They went back on that. They didn't tell the players. They signed this deal or came to this agreement with Liv and the, you know, Saudi investment fund in a closed door meetings and stuff without telling anybody. And they just sprung this on the players a month ago. After all of that that they've done, what leverage do they have with the players? what cachet do they have with the players on the PGA Tour? And then you might see, if this doesn't go through, that mass exodus where guys on the PGA Tour that were, you know, enticed by all these moral arguments from Jay Monahan and others to stay, you might see a pretty big exodus or large influx of those guys that say, screw you, I'm going to live and taking the money because you were being phonies the entire time. So a very tricky situation for the PGA Tour. They better hope that this deal is approved and goes through because they've left themselves wide open and maybe something that they didn't think through. Appreciate all the discussion on today's show. We'll be back next week. But, you know, keep the engagement going on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at GoingLowFan. You can give me a follow on Twitter as well at Kale_Berger. We'd love to know your thoughts on the match and who you think they could get other than Michael Jordan. Or maybe you agree with me, that could revitalize this whole thing.